And welcome to everybody over on YouTube, where we are now, actually. It's Off the Hook Overtime. Looks like I made it. Kyle, you're making adjustments. Is everything okay?
Yes, let me just double check that while you're introducing everyone, but I'm here.
Yeah, we've done some enhancements, so hopefully things will work even better than they've been working over the past few weeks. Rob, Gila, did you make it okay from Skype land?
We did, yes.
We did.
Okay, and Alex, I see you just landed in your chair. Are you okay, too? You make it back?
It was a difficult transition, but I'm here.
All right, well, welcome to Overtime, everybody. This is the program where we continue talking about the things we just talked about on Off the Hook, as well as take your listener phone calls. Please, don't call yet. Wait for us to give out the phone number.
We're very quiet on YouTube.
Are we very quiet on YouTube? Okay.
We're very quiet on YouTube.
Very quiet. Okay.
It should be changing
very soon.
It is, actually. Did it change? Just as you said that, it yes. kicked up.
All right. So should I re-say everything I said before for the people who weren't listening to quiet mode?
This was why I went ahead and checked that.
Yeah. We talk quietly at first and we get louder. It's just the way we are. We've made some adjustments, so levels might fluctuate. And if you're listening to this in the future, we're going to, of course, bring that volume up of what you just didn't hear.
Think of it as a slow fade in as you join us here in the Overtime Lounge.
Yeah, Overtime Lounge. That's what we want. Okay, so anything else happen that's of interest, Gila?
Well, I had a thought pursuant to the conversation we were having at the end of the show. I will say that my own personal feelings about Julian Assange are strong enough that I have made a decision not to speak about him on the airwaves because I don't want to risk an FCC fine.
Okay. Well, you're not on the airwaves now unless somebody's rebroadcasting us.
That's why I'm going
to
say this.
If you're rebroadcasting us, anyone, I guess you have to have your finger on some kind of a button. And hopefully you have some kind of a delay system, because occasionally people, speak from the heart and, you can't do that on FM radio.
Give me those sweet, sweet 7 seconds. I think that what I was saying to Rob during the break, that if we have learned anything in the past 7 years in this country, it is that when something goes from being a concept or an idea to a cult of personality, we lose a lot. Number two, it becomes very, very dangerous. And that I absolutely agree with Rob. I mean, I agree with Rob on most things, but I think that when it ceased being about leaks and began being the Julian Assange show, it became very complicated and dangerous. And again, shout out to Emma Best, occasional show guest, who has been tracking on their Twitter over the course of the last year the fact that the WikiLeaks leaker gateway submission form has been down since at least March. And yes, I have a lot of feelings about this whole thing, but I mean, is there a point where something ceases to be about what it was about and becomes about one person? I think that is where things become dangerous, complex, and less multidimensional than they had been.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And you certainly could have said all that on the radio. And I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that at all. My only issue here is the human rights aspect of it all. I hate seeing people suffer, even if it's somebody I disagree with, even if it's somebody that, some people might think did great harm. Okay. You know, that's a valid opinion that many people have, but, how long does somebody suffer for these actions? That's what bothers me, because so many of us don't seem to care anymore.
To completely change the subject, there are a couple of anniversaries that I really want to give a shout out to. I didn't do this on the air, but the first one is today is what's known as Doctor Who Day. It's the 59th anniversary of Doctor Who, which
changed the tone incredibly. Yeah. Doctor Who Day, okay.
Yes. Yes. No, it's a spiritual occasion for me. I take it very quite seriously. But yesterday, more of interest to, I think, our listeners, yesterday was the 35th anniversary of the Max Headroom broadcast signal intrusion incident. You guys know about this?
This is Captain Midnight? Or was it not somebody else?
It is not Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight was somebody else who I think was before this. But on November 22nd, 1987, two stations in Chicago found their signals interrupted by a person unknown wearing a rubber Max Headroom mask, as was the style at the time, and saying all kinds of things and doing all kinds of shenanigans. And there doesn't appear to have been any rhyme or reason. They weren't putting out a message. They were just having a lot of fun, having a good time, and interrupting the broadcast signals of TV stations, which was a major get at the time. It still would be now. But it was an amazing hack. The perpetrators were never caught. And I encourage everyone to check out the footage, check out the Wikipedia article at Max Headroom Signal Hijacking. It's just a lot of fun to learn about, and I think it's worth marking the anniversary.
When you were talking about Doctor Who Day, though, I was thinking about it earlier. We were talking about police robots. Because I was thinking, when we're talking about police robots and robots that are theoretically going to be sent in to shoot people, I was thinking about Daleks, and it was an appropriate thing to think about on Doctor Who Day. There you go. We've come full circle.
Wow. Okay. All right. From killer robots to Doctor Who to WikiLeaks and beyond, and the failure of Amazon's Alexa.
And Max Headroom.
Yeah,
Max Headroom, who was actually interrupting a Doctor Who episode to bring it all back together.
So we haven't talked about Twitter at all. The craziness continues with Elon Musk just posting random things. And I don't know. It just seems sad right now. I don't think it's falling apart as quickly as some people predicted it would. And I think Mastodon has definitely been talked about quite a bit, but has shown its limitations. I know we were having tremendous issues over at 2600 getting followers to count. And it's just funny because, you know, if you look at the back and forth dialogue that was going on, where I think three people after 2 days were following 2600 after the address had been posted. There are all these people, and this happens when you criticize Google, happens when you criticize Elon Musk amongst certain crowds. It's got to be a user error because the technology works perfectly. And the technology clearly doesn't work perfectly because, you know, a change that you make takes several hours for it to happen. Or, you know, if you join somebody in a different instance, it can take a day. And these are problems, but they're growing pains. It's what we expect. But to you know, to take on the high and mighty attitude that, well, you're doing it wrong, I see that a lot. I see that being directed at people who are trying to catch up and trying to figure things out. It turns them off. It makes them look elsewhere. It makes them not want to be a part of this. So we all have to be patient. We all have to be explaining things because Mastodon is not as simple as Twitter. It's a great service. It can do all kinds of cool things, but it needs improvement. It needs a lot more, which hopefully it will get with a lot more support and a lot more outlets. So that's what I've noticed over the past week.
Yeah, you have
to give out that address on the air. It's at 2600@mastodon.online, and where right now there appears to be 835 followers
of 2600.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And counting.
Well, okay. That's good. Yeah, it's weird because just to get an email from them can take almost a full day just to get, you know, a verification so that they know that you're requesting an account and so that you can verify the account and whatever else they need you to do. They're swamped. They're overloaded. And that's to be expected when something like this happens. But, you know, I'm hoping to see this really grow and flourish. It's a pretty awesome concept.
We had a conversation here last night, and I thought I came up with a word, which apparently I didn't. But I was asking about the way that things are done on Mastodon, and I said, what is the fetiquette here? And, you know, it worked in my head, so I very proudly went on my Mastodon account and announced that I had just come up with a new word, and then realized that I wasn't. I hadn't. It was real, but I hadn't heard it from anybody else before. So, yes, if you're talking about how things are done on Mastodon, we use the word fetiquette.
We do. Okay, well, that's I guess, good to know.
Fetiquette.
Wow. So over on Facebook, or Meta, as they prefer to be called, they have allegedly fired and or I imagine I mean disciplined. It says discipled over here on this story from CSHub.com. Allegedly fired and or discipled or disciplined more than 12 employees for hacking into users' Facebook and Instagram accounts on behalf of hackers. Yeah, as according to the Wall Street Journal, which broke the story on November 17th, some of the hacking cases involved bribery, with employees being paid thousands of dollars to hack into the accounts. According to an internal investigation into the account hijacking, those fired by Meta included contractors employed at the company's facilities as security guards. They were able to hack into unsuspecting victims' accounts after being allowed access to online operations known as OOPS. Capital O, capital O, P-S. Yes, that's what they're called. A tool used to help users log back into their accounts after being logged out or forgetting their login details. Now, access to OOPS is... that's just funny to say. Access to OOPS is usually heavily regulated, with the vast majority of users being unable to access it and having to use Meta's other avenues for account recovery. However, this has led to a rise in so-called cottage industry of intermediaries who charge users thousands of dollars to reset their accounts. I can't tell you how many times we get requests for people to get back into a Facebook account or to hack into someone else's Facebook account. The whole thing seems a bit silly and crazy, but here we are.
Oops.
Yeah, all the more reason not to put too much emphasis on any one account and maybe link it to any one contact address, linking payment methods, all these things that they want you to do to be brought into their world and onto this platform. They entangle you in it if someone other than you gets access to it, and you're then at the mercy of their whim, whatever that may be. And it could, in some cases, be really detrimental stuff, really targeted if they're willing to try to bribe people. Who knows? And especially don't be attractive to that on your public facing profiles. Don't put identifiable locations if you can help it, and belongings, you know, your lifestyle, like you know, it doesn't belong there. It's a photo sharing app. I'm thinking specifically of Instagram, but you know, integrating it as like a shopping cart and so forth, or you know, same thing with like Amazon purchases and so forth. There's so many different ways. If you're not containing this service and keeping it from other aspects of your life, you can really end up having one kind of weak link that makes your whole life, everything that you've entrusted, really kind of come tumbling down as far as reliability or security. And it's too much to try to live your life at the mercy of.
Alex, I see one of your kids is back.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got Sasha here. Sasha, you've got some statistics here, don't you?
Yeah.
What's the statistic that you have?
You mean the ads?
No, talking about the timing.
You've been talking for 1 minute and 42 seconds in that one conversation.
That was you, Kyle. Sasha was was timing.
How does
you.
It feel being judged by a 9-year-old?
Yep.
He's 9, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to get my facts wrong.
Now apparently I'm being timed here as well, but
I'm not timing.
Oh, you're not timing me now? Okay, good.
But he's remembering everything you say.
Yeah, he is actually. I wanted to ask you a question though, but this was an insider at Facebook/Meta, right?
That's what they say.
So this is a big problem. I mean, if you recall, this was an issue that had happened at least twice, I think it was, over at Twitter. And our good friend Mudge, who recently testified in Congress and became a whistleblower about the deficient security controls over at Twitter, had specifically noted in his whistleblowing documentation that he believed that there were agents of foreign powers that were employed within Twitter. You know, maybe some of them didn't sign on for the extreme Twitter, and he might have taken the severance over the last week or so with Elon Musk. But Yeah, this is a big problem. I think when it comes to platforms, and I doubt that Twitter is the only platform employing some kind of foreign agent of a hostile power. And so that's this is something I think that needs to be rooted out and figured out. But while we have somebody here before his bedtime, I thought it might be interesting to query our special guest here about some of those YouTube ads that we have been talking about over the last couple of weeks since the midterm elections, right?
Yeah.
So tell us, Sasha, about some of the ads that you saw on YouTube here in Pennsylvania when you were doing your thing.
Yeah, well, so the ads were against this Dr. Oz guy and Fetterman. Mm-hmm. And what they said about Fetterman was that he was releasing criminals that were doing felony murders.
Oh, my God.
And then with Doc Oz, they were saying that he was working with that girl that loves her scarves.
I don't know who that is. Who's that?
I don't know. I think it was the girl that was, like, lying about 6 feet social distancing.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, all right.
And
Dr. Burks.
And then they're, like, saying John Fetterman's too bad for his country. Same thing with Doc Oz.
Too radical, right? Yeah. Was that the word? Yeah. So, and what were you watching when these ads were coming up?
Probably Minecraft videos or trailers.
Minecraft videos.
So
you're watching a Minecraft video, and then all of a sudden you're blasted in the middle of this video with information about Dr. Oz or John Fetterman being too radical.
Yeah, and also said, like, then it also showed a part where, like, John Fetterman was saying 9 of my students were murdered, so I came here and worked side by side with the police.
Okay, interesting. So these are the things that you remember from these videos, right? That he was I didn't even know that this thing about releasing murderers and whatnot. And let me ask you this. Since the election happened, and do you remember when the election happened?
Yeah.
What did we do that night of the election?
We put a sticker on Cleo's head.
We put a sticker on a dog's head, but where did we get that sticker?
from the voting place.
Yeah, we went to the polling place, right? Yeah. And we voted. We voted together, right? Mm-hmm. And you did the whole thing, and you saw how the ballot was scanned, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That whole fiasco? Right, so after Election Day, have you seen any of these ads?
No, they've all gone.
Yeah, what's it been replaced with?
Just regular video game ads.
So it goes back to, like, ads that are focusing on kids.
Yeah.
Not political ads. That's interesting.
Yeah, but I also see these, like, things that are, like, funny quizzes, and it says, am I gay, are you gay, and all that.
Really?
Yeah.
These are quizzes?
No, it's like, so you know how they have, an ad point where you can watch an ad
mm-hmm.
on the top right, and sometimes it says funny kid quizzes, and it asks, like, a question that says, am I gay? Are you gay?
Really?
Yeah.
I want to see somebody. That's interesting. This is another interesting revelation that we have
here
on Off the Hook Overtime about the inappropriate nature of YouTube ads targeting children. Here we are once again from quite literally the horse's mouth here. This is very bizarre. I want to pass it back to you guys for comment on this interesting repartee we've had.
I mean, wow, that's something to think that you're being exposed to all this, to ads at all. You know, in some countries, it's illegal to subject kids to ads in any way on TV, on the internet. But apparently here, it's to be expected.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying. And I know we've gotten some additional listener mail on this subject too. I don't know if you have that handy, but I think some of it was supportive of me and our efforts to try to limit these ads, and some weren't nearly as castigating as the mail that you read on the air last week, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was entertaining.
I'd love to read that over on Off the Hook Over, whoever it was that sent in that latest mail. It's always difficult for me to turn it up, but I don't know, maybe somebody could.
I have it handy.
Rob has it handy. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, this is from Ray, who says, I missed Alex's comments on YouTube the first time, but I'm another parent shocked by YouTube's non-existent child protection. You can filter content, but if your child logs out, it effectively disables the filter. I was disturbed by some of the stuff my kids were watching, so I uninstalled the YouTube app on my TV, but after 2 months, my son found the TV app store and reinstalled it. I'm against overregulation, but YouTube and others need to take some responsibility about their content and children.
Hey, Sasha, does your dad try to filter the content that you see? And can you figure out how to get around it?
Well, we don't know how to filter. That's the thing.
Oh, we don't know how to do it, huh?
Well, there's, you know, I haven't installed any filters on his content. I haven't really put, strictures in place. However, I think it was Bobcat last week who called in, he was spewing a lot of vitriol last week, but he had some great points. And I think one of the points was to set up a pie hole and essentially redirect, I think it's the DNS to the local pie hole so then you filter all the traffic through that pie hole and it essentially drops all of the advertisements. So I think that's definitely a project in which I'm going to be investing a little bit of time over the next couple of weeks. And then Sasha can report back after we have that established about whether or not that pie hole was effective at taking away those ridiculous YouTube ads. What do you think about that, Sasha? You want to report back in a few weeks?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. However,
yes.
I would also be interested, Sasha, to see if there's another change in the ads you're getting, say, at the beginning of January. Because, you know, I think going from election season to the Christmas shopping season is going to affect what ads were also being served. So I'll be very curious once the new year has begun to see what you're getting in January. So this is a long-term reporting project we've got for you, but I hope that's okay.
Go ahead, Kyle.
One of my questions was, is there anything like, is there a YouTube that is generated or just like sort of strictly for kids? And is there anything there that you cannot see that you would have to use like regular YouTube, or do they even try? And I'm really curious what kind of ads might support that. Like, are they creating any alternative, or is it just that everybody is like a free for all for YouTube? And one of the things I'm hearing in this hard hitting reporting is that there really needs to be curation of ads, not just like anybody who's got money can have an ad. That might have worked for AdWords and the search engine aspect early on for Google, but for something like this, that is a huge method of consuming media, how does it compare, like whatever kind of product they may have made that's geared more towards that age group?
Yeah, you know, there is a YouTube app that's just for kids. Have we installed that one? I don't know if we have.
Once, but I was like five.
You were five, right?
Can you even watch Minecraft on it? Like Minecraft type stuff, like the same stuff you would search for?
What do you mean?
Can you watch Minecraft on the YouTube kids?
Like, no. Can you find what you want, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not, I would say. I bet it's called KidsTube. That's a name that was perfect for
it's
this.
Probably like a cutoff, too, because you're a little bit older, you're kind of adolescent, kind of going into your own interests and stuff, but they don't really have an intermediate channel for that or platform. It kind of thrusts you into this thing that, as I was noting, it really is the highest bidder, or you know, the almighty dollar is like that's the low bar for whether an ad is on the platform or not.
And uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think just going back to fundamentals here, if it's a kid video, it should have kid advertisements or kid level advertisements.
I think it should have no advertisements. Why do you need to advertise to kids?
I agree.
They don't have any money. You know, they can't go out and buy things. All they can do is nag you to buy things.
No, that's the angle, though.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's exactly right. You know, or they can just go and do it themselves. Apparently, on Alexa, and that might contribute to its overall success. But it's it just beguiles me why political ads would be served to children. that's just a very, very strange thing. I think that there was such overspending happening, especially in places like Pennsylvania, on both sides of the aisle, by the Democrats and the Republicans, that there was a tremendous amount of money to burn through, and the only way they could do it was to serve these political ads adjacent to anything and everything. And I think that that's what they were doing, was that it was a deliberate choice to maximize profits from this massive advertising pool that seemed to be inexhaustibly replenished with money after money after money, and people just donating and donating. And so, you know, this was an opportunistic play for these particular platforms, where for a certain period of time, they did not care about the age appropriate level of these advertisements, and political ads were being served to anybody and everybody.
But well, I only saw the Fetterman ads in the Poconos, not in New York. They just disappear in New York.
Well, yeah, because you're not in Pennsylvania.
It's the elections for Poconos.
Mm-hmm. Well, the election for Pennsylvania, that's right. So
that's a great point. They're able to differentiate where you are, but not who you are. So
that is a really, really good point, Sasha, because based on the IP address that we have on our computer, you can determine where somebody is geographically, right? So on the map, they can know that we're in northeastern Pennsylvania in the Poconos. So that's why you weren't getting those ads in New York, because mm-hmm. John Fetterman was running against Dr. Oz for the Senate seat in Pennsylvania.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Kyle.
What did you see leading up to the election in New York mm-hmm. on these ads?
What do you mean by that?
So, you know, right before, you know how you would see the political ads on YouTube ahead of the election here yeah. with John Fenn? Did you see any political ads in New York?
No, it did not show any voting for election in New York. It only shows these ads in the Poconos.
That's because we know what we're doing here. We know what we're doing in New York. In Pennsylvania, I don't know.
None of this scattershot ad buying. My question was, are there any adults that play Minecraft? I'm wondering if that might
Yeah.
So there are people that are above voting age that might engage in watching trailers and stuff too?
Yeah.
Like there's overlap?
So how would YouTube know you were a kid then?
Well, I don't know. They'd probably think I'm a teenager.
Is that right?
Well, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. All the way up there.
And maybe voting age. Or
maybe.
At the very least, somebody who will talk to his parent and say, is John Fetterman too radical for Pennsylvania? And make Alex think, yes, maybe John Fetterman is too radical. Maybe I should vote for Dr. Oz instead. Not that you vote in Pennsylvania anyway because you're a New York resident, but the thing is, if lots of kids are doing this, it could affect their parents.
Well, one way to look at it is these ads definitely did spark some kind of political discourse, because Sasha did exactly that, come over to me and ask if John Fetterman was too radical for Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are talking about it on Off the Hook Overtime a couple of weeks later.
And Sasha, do you think John Fetterman is too radical for Pennsylvania?
Well, in the beginning, the beard did look a bit evil to me. But I don't know.
He's going to hear this. I know he's going to hear this.
Yeah, I hope so.
Your beard looked evil in the beginning, but it didn't look evil at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You warmed up to it.
Okay. I knew that the ads were going against each other, so that I knew that they were not saying actual things true about the other people.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a smart play there, Sasha. You're a smart man. And a welcome addition to the show here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you elevate the discourse and the intellectual, I think, honesty of all the participants here, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for that critical analysis. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent. Should we take some phone calls?
I think we should.
It is ringing.
Didn't we specifically ask people not to call before we give the phone number out? So whoever is calling now.
I just want to. Yeah, there's certain people that, despite saying that, it might not work that well. But I'm just warning there might be a couple issues level-wise. Hopefully it doesn't shriek at us when I answer.
Oh, so you made some changes to the board.
There might be a horrible hum. It could be all kinds of messy. Just very gentle
with
that.
Should I have this up or should I turn it
off? Let's just get to the calls.
Pick up the phone and I'll slowly fade up. All right. And here I'm slowly fading up. And I hear.
Hi.
Very slight. No, hold on. I'm going to introduce the caller. Caller, welcome to Off the Hook Overtime. You can speak now. Caller, you can speak. They spoke before. Either they can't hear me or I can't hear them. But I heard them a second ago. Did they maybe hang up? Is anybody on the phone?
Hello?
They could be messing with us too, you know? Our crawlers do that sometimes. Do we definitely have somebody on the line?
As far as I can tell.
Okay, well, I'm hearing the hum of the phone line. Okay.
Hello?
There we go.
Hey, hi.
Okay. Oh, there you are, yeah.
Were you not able to hear us just now?
Okay, that was one of
you. Yeah, I heard you.
Were you answering us?
I was answering you, but you put me on hold, and then now you're back.
Okay, all right, we're trying to figure this out. A little distorted, but okay, what's on your mind?
What kind of, you're trying to figure this out for the past year.
This is anyway. Rebel, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah, well, I didn't recognize you at first.
You sound great. Glad you're here.
Remember last time we were talking about the Verizon operator or the AT&T operator that does not put calls. No. That if you have certain service with AT&T, all right, if you have a certain service with AT&T, it does not have operator services?
Right.
There, no, okay. As of January 1, AT&T home phone service is going to be losing operator capability. So, yes, but.
In certain states. I know you said, but I talked to the AT&T operator on a regular phone, which is a business phone, and she said that only if you had the Universe service, the bundled internet home, the thing that AT&T offers, but if you have regular phone service from your local phone company, the operator, AT&T operator, will still be available, even if you're in those states.
We're sorry about that ear-piercing screech just now. We're not referring to you, Rebel. We're referring to the actual ear-piercing screech that we just broadcast.
Oh, but did you hear what I said?
Well, we've been working on the board, but I imagine everybody else was listening to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shall I repeat it?
Don't repeat
Rebel,
it.
I heard you. So, yes, just to recap for everybody. What Rebel said was that he spoke to an AT&T operator who said that the only change to the service is people who have AT&T home phone service, which used to be known as UVerse. It's the bundled thing. And yeah, we said that. But yes, okay. If you have a not AT&T home phone service call and you call the operator, they'll still help you. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
Now, okay, let's see.
I can't hear you.
If you call...
You can't hear Rebel now? You can't hear Rebel. Okay, so Gila can no longer hear Rebel.
Okay. I can hear Rebel, but he's very low.
He's very low. All right, we're turning him up.
I'm going to call a number now.
Is that better?
Now he's back.
Okay.
Okay, if you call this number, it tells you to... It doesn't tell you what company it is. Hold on while I demonstrate it. Want to hold?
Go ahead.
610-54.
Don't give out the phone number. All right, well, we're on hold. What kind of show is this where our callers put us on hold?
Have we given out the number even?
You know what? We didn't even give out the number.
Appointment. Press 1.
If you listen to what this
hello,
company has
we
to
apologize
do.
That you are receiving these calls, but they are not originating from our office. Please either block this number or place it on the do not call list while we resolve this with our carrier company. Sorry for the inconvenience.
Wow.
Okay, were you able to hear that?
Yes, heard that just fine.
Now, see what that company, that poor company has to do, because I got a call from that number and, you know, it was one of those, this is American Express. You have won a, all expense paid vacation or whatever. You know what I mean? It's one of those scams.
Uh-huh.
And they called from that number, that 610 number, and then when I call that 610 number in Pennsylvania, I get this company, which is, I think, a doctor's office or something, and it says, press 1 to, if you got a call from this number. And then you play did you hear that recording where they have to say, this is if you got a call from this number, it's not originating from us?
But Rebel, we have the same recording on our home voicemail because a few months ago, somebody was spoofing our number. So people were calling annoyed at us. So our voicemail now says, hi, you've reached Robin Gila's house. if you don't know us and you're calling because you got a phone number from us, we're sorry. It wasn't us. We're terribly sorry for the inconvenience. We didn't call you. Don't hate us. If you know us, leave us a message.
Wow. That's a lot to have to say. You
know. I did it a little faster than that.
Okay, now, let's see what else. Also, let me
got a whole list of things here, don't you, Rebel?
Yeah.
You have an agenda each week when you call?
Can I just say, since we didn't even have the chance to give out the phone number, our phone number
please
is 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK is our telephone number.
But
for those
don't
people,
call it now because I'm on the phone.
Yeah, but you called it when we asked you not to. So, I mean, we're rewarding
rewarding
people not obeying our commands. And
all right, one more number.
On hold. Yeah.
Putting us on hold again. Why do we tolerate this? Why do we let ourselves be treated this way?
We're always up for a phone trip.
This is not how I pictured myself celebrating Doctor Who Day.
Well, I wasn't picturing Doctor Who Day at all, so I don't know where that puts me.
To continue.
Oh, I said thank you for calling, but what am I calling?
Press 5 to continue. This call may be recorded.
Let's just ask this person.
She doesn't tell you what you're calling.
Well, yeah, ask the person who picks up.
I'll give you the phone number. You know what? I'm not going to do that. Actually, no, I get rid of this before.
Well, you just you called them, and all you did was ring a number.
Audiology Clinic.
There you go.
Our hours are 9 a.m.
Okay.
That tells you exactly who they are.
Friday. Please leave your name and phone number, and we will get back to you as soon as...
Yeah, why don't you not do that?
Sorry, you cannot leave a message now because this mailbox is full.
Yeah, no doubt full of Rebels' messages.
Press star 8.
Wait a minute.
Or to reach the receptionist, press 0.
Yeah, I doubt the receptionist is still there.
Your call is being transferred.
Oh, no, I don't want to. All right, well, I'm just going to have to talk to all of this. This is 691-9901. It's supposed to be, you know, what central office is your phone number?
Well, some of them do that. Not all of them do use 991
for that. Not all of them, but some of them do this.
Okay, well, you found an office that transfers phone calls. I'm not sure what the issue is.
You have reached Boro Audiology Clinic.
And again, we know more about them than we need to. All right, Rebel, we're gonna move on. You've got some chaos going on there with some kind of voicemail system. Thank you for calling. Our phone number 802-321-4225. And can we release that, Kyle? Is he released from us?
Yes, please call quickly. Fill that line.
Reverend, please don't call back.
No, not anyone, but...
Yeah, because we can block. We can block numbers too, you know. We can do that. And not only can we block numbers, we can attack numbers. So, you know, if somebody annoys us, well, I don't want to give the details, but it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. 802-321-4225. And, of course, you can see who's calling in, and it's the same number. Don't pick up. Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say hello to my nephew.
Okay. Who could that be?
That would be Sasha.
Wow. It's an Alex family reunion here on the on the radio.
That's right. This is Rachel.
Oh, from
down in Florida.
From Florida. Okay.
Hi, Sasha.
How crazy is that? Aunt Rachel called up while you're on the air?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. What a special night, huh?
Probably because you text her.
I don't know about that. I've never had it.
Let me see that phone.
Sasha, I'm
drinking forensics at the moment.
He is
Sasha.
Very
Let
honest.
See it.
This is an honest kid. He will say what his dad is doing. I like that.
That's right. Thankfully, he doesn't know my password. So, but why don't you talk to your Aunt Rachel?
Tell me my password.
No passwords for you. Talk to your Aunt Rachel.
Aunt Rachel.
Yeah?
Hey, man. How are you?
Good.
Rachel, why don't you give us an update about what's been happening in Florida since you last called in? You know, Aunt Rachel would call in when there was a big hurricane down there and she had to evacuate.
Oh.
And now she's back where she is and we should get an update from her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my restaurant actually reopened last Tuesday,
The island that I work. Oh, I started hearing myself talk. The island that I work on is not open fully to the public. They're just letting residents and people working back on. And it's been really good to be back at work, and people are really happy to have a place to go and to eat. And it's been somewhat also very harrowing. You know, bartenders are often, you know, it's said that we're kind of therapists. But for the trauma that these people have been through, I am not at all qualified to deal with. You know, people are walking in the door, like, so happy to have something normal, but then they sit down at the bar and tell you the most terrifying story you've ever heard.
Yeah.
So.
Just hearing that matters. Just listening matters.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of very scary, scary stories. A lot of people stayed. A lot more than I thought there was out there. And it's been real rough.
I think it was you who told us that some people were told to stay by their employers. Was that correct?
Well, yeah. Some people, because like if they worked like that Tuesday, there really isn't much time to get your life in order and get out. I don't know if they were told to stay, but there were places that were still operating like very close to when the storm was coming in. I heard that from a couple people.
Wow.
You're a good listener.
Thank you.
Well, Rachel, what else is going on there? I mean, I think, you know, tell us a little bit about the, you know, your restaurant, your bar, and whether there's any damage. Is it back up and running entirely?
Somewhat. There's no internet. A lot of people on the island are only just now getting electricity. Like within yesterday, today, there's certain very, I don't know what the logistics of it, but some people are still powerless and waterless and all that. The other day there was a huge fire nearby because a golf course, all their golf carts had gotten wet in the storm surge, and then they just kind of exploded. I don't know what happened, but
from
the corrosion from the water.
From the hurricane, and it just exploded now?
Yeah. And it's the second time that's happened in the past month. Yeah, the batteries just start burning somehow.
Wow.
I don't know. So that was apocalyptic. Just today, some very strange people showed up and tried to steal these baby palm trees that are growing on the property of my restaurant. It's like so many trees are broken and dead, and they tried to steal our trees.
Wait, hold on a second. Were your trees in the ground?
Yeah, they were like 2-year-old, I guess, coconut trees.
So
that
they
were growing like naturally from coconuts that had fallen there.
They came with shovels and to take your trees away?
Well, apparently they're very easy to just pull up when they're small. So they just pulled up and started grabbing at our trees, and we had to call the police.
That's an unusual call to make. Someone's stealing our trees. Bet they haven't heard that one before.
Yeah. In the middle of the day, broad daylight.
Well, I mean, stealing trees at night looks suspicious.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, this sounds like it could be another classic Florida man type story, right?
It sounds like Florida men, though. How many people were there?
It was a couple. It was a man and a woman.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's because there's so many police officers, and they're from all over the state.
Well, no, okay. So
we have police officers from 3 different cities in our parking lot.
So when were these people confronted?
Yeah, they made up some nonsense story.
I'd like to hear it.
Oh, well, they said, okay, this is hilarious, because they're pulling these plants out of the ground. And then the woman said, oh, it's because my husband, he's been coming to Sanibel for years. He wanted a souvenir. As they were pulling the third one out and putting it in the back of their pickup truck.
So their idea of a souvenir is to uproot plants around the place they've been to?
Wow. Allegedly.
I would have offered them a window or something.
Right. And there's you know, the place is really, really messed up. There's stuff everywhere.
Is it possible they just thought you'd given up and that the place was abandoned and nobody cared anymore?
No, not at all, because they had actually pulled up and I was outside eating my lunch. We have like a back sort of patio area for employees where we enter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having my lunch out there and the woman walked up and said, hey, are you guys open? And we said, yeah, like the entrance is right over there. So they absolutely knew. And there were other cars in the parking lot.
In clear sight of you, they then proceeded to start digging up a tree after having talked to you.
They were out of my line of sight, but in the full view of my bar, which has floor-to-ceiling windows, and people were sitting around the bar, and a woman came in to the bar and said, what are they doing out there? Because no one had noticed until she looked out the window.
Fascinating.
And, that was a really strange thing that happened.
I want one of these trees now, since everyone's taking them. I mean, why can't I
have
one?
There are trees.
And coconuts grow on them?
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely want one now.
They take a long time to grow up.
Uh-huh. So they're easy to pluck from the ground. I know that now. Mm-hmm. I just have to find some places that have them. And, wow. Of course, they won't grow in New York, I'm pretty sure.
Probably not. Maybe indoors, like in Battery Park City.
So I'm hoping Sasha learns a lesson here that stealing trees is wrong.
It is wrong. Leave the trees alone. The trees have been through a lot.
No, don't steal trees. There's one lesson we can impart to the youth of today. That should
be a lesson.
Yeah. Okay, good.
You're very smart, Sasha.
Yeah. I mean, is this something that you knew before this program, Sasha? Was it always wrong to steal trees, or is this a new lesson that you has come to light tonight?
Probably a bit new lessons come to light tonight.
Yeah.
Because I don't see many small trees. I usually see like 35 feet trees that are like, that would probably take a whole year to try and take out.
Yeah.
So I'm just not so used to thinking of those types of lessons.
Right. So if you saw a small tree on somebody else's property, do you think it was okay to just take it?
They probably didn't care about that tree too much.
Oh, really? What would make you think that?
Because it's just a tree.
Oh, it's just a tree.
In New York, we only have saplings, not beautiful palm trees.
That's true. That's true. We don't have a lot of those situations there.
We have zero.
Yeah.
Do I detect a hint of envy here that Sasha wants palm trees and prefers Florida to New York?
What was that, Sasha? Do you like Florida better than New York? This is going to be a very controversial comment here.
I do.
On the record. See, I got this out of your kid.
Florida has a better ocean, a better view. Right. It doesn't have a Hudson River that's literally green.
It doesn't have that. That's right.
You'd probably come out of with an extra limb. In Florida, it's clear water, better piers probably.
Yeah.
More decoration.
Alligators, too. You have alligators.
Yeah, what about alligators?
Okay, like, the pools in Florida are better than New York.
You think so? Yeah, all right. Well, I'll give you that because you can use them all year round, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll be down there soon, and we're going to go visit Aunt Rachel, and we're going to go check out her bar, and we're going to steal her trees.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right?
No.
Yeah.
And they're not going to
say, we're going to steal the big ones.
And we're going to read them about this in the paper. Soon to be Florida man.
We know when to do it
when Aunt Rachel's not having lunch, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. This has been a very eventful evening here. We've learned a lot.
Also, we gotta take some of that salt from the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that. Did you hear that, Rachel?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to describe what Sasha's talking about very briefly, and then maybe we'll move on?
Yeah, we have a salt scrub in the bathrooms at my restaurant.
Interesting. So,
and it's really, really nice. It makes your hands feel wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a massage, technically.
Yeah, I'm surprised you remember all this, Sasha. Oh.
They keep track of everything, Alex. Be careful. Yeah. Be careful.
I know. This is what happens when you keep feeding them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was almost a year and a half ago, and he remembers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Yep, that was it. He's a smart kid, this guy, let me tell you. Yep. Yeah, he is. Yeah. Very proud.
Hi, well, thanks for the update. Anything else you wanted to let us know before we move on?
No, I don't think so. It's just been really tough, and it's weird how it feels very rude of the rest of the world to just move on.
Yeah, we're sorry about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's your fault, but it's been real, just kind of crappy down here. Very sad.
Well, I imagine this Thanksgiving is going to be a bit of a challenge for a lot of people down there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of people who, like, their houses are just gone completely. You know, a lot of people who are struggling.
Yeah, but yeah.
They'll come back. We'll figure it out.
Well, we have to remember these people and check in on them, make sure that they're, you know, at least surviving, and help them recover, help them get things back. We all have to do our bit.
Yep.
And especially...
Rachel, straight, stay strong. You'll get better.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
What he said.
You're welcome.
Yeah, he's right. He's right. Upstairs. Well, Rachel, thank you for calling. And I think we'll move on to some other calls. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I think your kid escaped too, by the way.
Yeah, and I think Sasha has
slithered away.
Good job. At the moment, so... Yeah. Rachel, we'll talk to you soon. We love you, and thanks for the update. And, be safe down there and guard the trees.
Okay. I'm watching out. I'm ready.
You got it. I know you are. All right.
All right. Take care.
Bye, Rachel.
All right. Love you, brother.
Love you, too.
All right. Well, that's the update from Florida. And, sounds like she's doing all right, you know, protecting trees. Yep. Wouldn't expect that to be the issue, but we forget, you know, there's still a lot of wreckage down there from a massive hurricane that destroyed a lot of people's homes and took a lot of lives as well.
Yeah.
All right. Have another phone call, Kyle? All right. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Okay, I got rid of the calls now. Okay.
What did we say, Rebel? What did we say? You're done for the night. What? You're showing me a box I can't read, Kyle. Did he hide his number somehow?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Very clever. But do it again, you'll be banned next week. How about that? Yeah, we can impose bans. So 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK.
I'm not going to be so trusting now.
There's lots of people out there. It's unfair to hog all the time. While we're waiting for that, do we have a call? Okay, while we're waiting for that call to come in, kind of make me look like an idiot if we don't get a call after making that speech. Perhaps someone else has something to say.
Well, it's true. Someone will think that that's how we treat callers. We don't. We're very personable. We'd love to hear your comments. Anything
Well, that's why
observe.
We're doing this. We're doing this for you.
Exactly.
We don't know who you are, but...
There was another crazy story that went by really quick that I only managed to find and send to us at the last minute, so it didn't get on the air. But Mercedes has locked faster acceleration as a feature behind a $1,200 annual paywall. This story has been going around.
Whoa, hold on a second. So if you want to accelerate fast, you have to pay extra. Hang on, what if you're in an emergency situation and you have to accelerate fast? You're telling me you're going to die because you didn't pay the premium?
I don't know if you're going to die, but, you know,
if the train hits you, you're going to die. If you're stuck on a train track and you have like 5 seconds to go and suddenly you realize, hey, I'm on a train track, I got to get out of here. And you gun the accelerator, but, you know, it only goes like 0 to 30 in like 10 seconds. Yeah, you're going to get smacked by a train.
Yeah, this story is on The Verge. It's also on The Drive. And apparently it improves performance by boosting output from the motors by 20 to 24%, increasing torque and shaving around 0.8 to 0.9 seconds off 0 to 60 acceleration when in dynamic drive mode. And this is just a software thing. Like, it's a feature that your car can physically do it, and all the hardware is there, but Mercedes won't unlock the ability to use that feature unless you pay them $1,200 a year on this range of cars of theirs. So, you know, they're you know, if you're poor, your car is crippled, basically.
Well, if you're poor, I doubt you're not buying a Mercedes in the first place.
This is true. I think another way to look at it is, perhaps this is a form of discouraging behaviors and emissions. I mean, what kind of, like, just by disincentivizing that level of acceleration, I'm wondering what kind of fuel performance ratios, how that changes, and if actually by making it expensive, it might be good for people around this vehicle.
We're
gonna put a premium on access. I mean, I understand. Look, I'm the last person to say that this is a good idea, that we should tier how a machine accelerates based on subscriptions. Not really something I would be keen on, but that could be a factor.
I don't want Mercedes making these decisions.
Think about safety and insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
as far as fuel goes, though, I have to point out these are electric cars.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was electric. I thought it was gas. I assumed it was gas.
Didn't mention that part.
Okay, so they have zero emissions.
Two specific types of electric cars that have this thing, acceleration increase.
Got it.
But yeah, it's here's a car, and we're going to stop it from doing a thing that it can do if you don't give us more money.
You know, just apply that to all kinds of things. I mean, what if you applied it to brakes? Sorry, you didn't pay the brake fee. Welcome to the wall that you just crashed into. No, they'll never do that. That's an extreme example, but it's the same mentality, you know? And if you own something, and you do own it when you buy it, you should be able to use it as it's able to be used, i.e. if it's able to accelerate at a certain rate, responsible or not, you should be able to do that. And that's part of owning a car, is you make hopefully responsible decisions. But to have some overlord telling you, oh, you have to pay us extra if you want to do this particular action, which we deem to be, you know, something that you don't need. You haven't bought a car then. You simply entered into some kind of a license agreement.
I agree with this. And I really don't want to be defending this story as written necessarily, but now that I've been informed that it's an electric motor, acceleration with those is not necessarily the same. It's not hindered in the same ways that an internal combustion engine is. And again, I think behaviors, safety, correct the raw technical capabilities of that motor to spin from nothing to as fast as it can possibly spin without breaking apart into a million pieces, that technically is what you're paying for. But to me, it is on the manufacturer to define how exactly those components behave, because I'm talking about drivers and behavior, but how those components are to operate, the tenor, the nature of acceleration. Those kinds of refinements are inherent to a particular manufacturer's design.
Right.
So to defend a little bit, I mean, they are defining the character of how those components are used. And if you just slam your foot and it goes violently forward, like incredible G-forces, it's borderline like unsafe. I think they do get to define like how that accelerator pedal actuates that
motor.
Yeah, but
that's
motor
part of
so
the
forth.
Model of the car, you know, the design
right.
of that particular car. Either it does it or it doesn't.
Well,
to make it an option where, okay, if you pay a little extra, then you can do this.
Right.
Look, if you pay a little extra, then you get the feature in the car. But it's not something that should be turned on and turned off after you've already bought the car, because the car already has the feature then.
But I'm saying they've tuned it. They're saying, okay, we're going to sell you this car. We've tuned it like this. Like, it can do other things, technically, like the at a component level. But if you want to have this, whatever the rate, whatever they're selling, 20% or whatever this super, I mean, Tesla did the same thing with the S or some kind of launch feature or something. There's other manufacturers that have done similar things. But I this is kind of where I stop defending, because I think that if you actually buy it and own it, outside of all their intent and everything, I feel like you should just be able to modify it at a very like granular level and just basically bypass all
of
their
feature,
like,
or you don't have the feature
design.
That's okay. Go ahead, because
it takes the spirit of modification out of it. Otherwise,
it does. But I also think this is kind of reminiscent of the discussion we were having earlier about Alexa devices and how they're not making money. So a few months ago, BMW decided that they were going to start selling subscriptions to heated seats. You own a car. It's got seat heaters. But if you don't pay them extra for this thing that already exists in the vehicle that you own, you can't access the thing that already exists in the vehicle that you own. And it's the same thing of why is Alexa not making money? Because there's not necessarily the same kind of planned obsolescence in these devices. So you have, like, where is the revenue stream? So the car makers who are busy making these bigger, better vehicles that last longer are like, wait, people aren't buying as many cars anymore. What can we do? Oh, right. We're going to make them subscribe to these things they already own, or we're going to charge them extra for like Apple Play in their cars. Like, if I have to pay extra to connect my phone to my car, which is moot because we don't have a car, but regardless, if I did, I would be angry. And that's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
there's a certain point where like you have to stop nickel and diming people for every component of this thing they already have.
Well, I get, you know, a SiriusXM subscription. You pay for that because that's a subscription to a service that you can turn on or off, and it's a premium service. You know, I put that in quotes. But heated seats, you know, the rate of acceleration, these are options. Either you opt in or you don't.
Yeah, I agree. It should be a one-time thing if they do that.
And if you've already opted in,
you
stay opted in.
Right. Otherwise, you don't own the car. Otherwise, they own the car and they're turning it on and off. And again, you know, it can be controlled nefariously as well. It's a very bad precedent to set. And that's why it's so important to come out vehemently against this now while it's still in its infancy. Yes, Alex.
This just seems like such a ridiculous ploy to generate revenue on the basis of some kind of subscription, and I'm doing the air quotes, subscription model here. But what strikes me as particularly interesting about this is that you can foresee maybe tomorrow, next week, next month, whenever the case may be, somebody will figure out a way to access these features without having to pay for them, maybe by updating the firmware or modifying the code some way. There'll be something fun done through the ODB2 port or whatever it is, right?
Or I'm thinking even like emulating their service, you know, like kind of operating a clone of their service in parallel or something.
Yep. Yeah. And so what will happen then is, you know, somebody will bypass whatever the security feature is that has protected these features from being universally used by people who haven't subscribed to that particular service. And then technically, they will have exceeded the authorization to use those features in their own car. And by accelerating in your own car, you could be committing a crime. You could be contravening the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act by simply pressing the gas pedal in your car. That's totally crazy. That's something I foresee. I'm calling it now. And I think by the end of 2023, we're going to see some idiotic cases about exactly that.
Well, I'm thinking now of ideas of ways to use this. What if you had a limit to number of times you blow your horn in a month? And if you exceed that limit, you pay a fee. Huh? That'd be good. That'd be good for all of us, right? Sure. Or, you know, if you turn without using a turn signal, there's a violation, there's a fee you have to pay, you know? That's how you make money. We have a call? All right, let's take this call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, it's Philip from Virginia. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on in Virginia? Other than mass shootings, we know about those, but...
Yeah, that's on the coast. I'm not near the coast, but it's going all right, I guess. Were you talking about the heated seat thing? How to keep somebody from just bypassing the chip altogether and just doing a direct line into the battery just to run it that way?
Yeah, with a switch instead of running through an integrated infotainment system. Because essentially, it's a coil that needs energy. So I mean, there's ways to bypass it, and of course you'd want to do a very nice wiring job and install. But certainly, it is a very simple at a basic level. Presumably, it's just a form of a heating element that needs electricity.
Yeah, if you can solder a couple wires together to from a battery to a motor or something to keep you from doing that, you know what I mean? It's it doesn't seem that difficult. I mean, it's overkill though, but I don't know. It's were you talking about Alexa earlier too? Did you know Artemis 1 has a version of Alexa on it?
The Orion capsule, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, just hope they don't say Alexa a lot.
Who's saying Alexa? There's only dummies on there, you know, mannequins. So who's talking to Alexa?
Well, once they have people on there, next flight.
There was an aim to have some variation of a... a voice assistant, something you could speak to help.
Hold on a second. They literally have Mission Control to talk to, and they need Alexa?
Yeah,
Mission Control can answer any question they have. You know? What do you need Alexa for?
Yeah, probably smarter, too.
I mean, hell, if I had Mission Control, I wouldn't buy an Alexa. And, Mission Control can do this while they're not flying spaceships. They can
I think
sort
this
of a
might
call
have
center.
Been... It might have been part of a media blitz to kind of make money for Alexa to be somewhat profitable or break even.
Uh-huh. Well, it didn't work.
Well, here's another scary thing about the Artemis thing. It's all touch screens, right? So there's no electromechanical buttons or anything like that. So if those screens go out, what do you do?
Hopefully there's a backup. I mean, I'd hate to put all my eggs in one basket on that.
Yeah.
I think they have a lot of tablets and stuff, too, that can maybe replicate the same screens. There's there might be some smaller control surfaces that are actual sort of soft keys and so forth that can do various things. But this is definitely something that is a concern, and I'm sure they put some thought to it.
But it's really awesome that this is happening, that Artemis is currently circling the moon. And that we're going to send people back up there in a couple of years. It's just so thrilling. And it's also really cool that Artemis in Greek mythology is the twin sister of Apollo.
Of Apollo.
And we've committed to sending a woman to the moon. It's just, it feels good to be doing all these things. And I really look forward to Artemis 2 and Artemis 3.
Yeah, that's what SpaceX was involved.
Well, you know, the merrier. I don't have any problem with private enterprise being a part of this as well. I think that's how we move forward. If the people running them are jerks, that's par for the course. But the important thing is to be making these advancements. And what SpaceX has done is really pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think specifically that company is a lot more than one figurehead.
Unlike WikiLeaks.
I think people need to give a little bit more credit to the sheer volume of people that have worked at that company in particular.
Yeah. Speaking of Elon Musk, have you guys abandoned Twitter yet, or still on there? Or?
I don't think any of us have abandoned Twitter per se, but just looking at options, other options.
Mastodon, maybe.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely
just
watching.
Go back to IRC.
What was that?
Just go back to IRC.
That's what I was suggesting. You know, because a lot of the same mentality on Twitter now is pretty much what we've seen on IRC over the past few decades.
Some of us have never left.
I think it's just another phase, like Facebook was a phase. And MySpace was a phase. Mm-hmm. And, before that was like MSN Messenger or Yahoo Messenger and so on. I think it's just a phase. I think people are just tired of it.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, when I listen to stuff on the on my Echo, there's like a disclaimer from like TuneIn, like if you want to opt out of our targeted ads and all this other stuff, just call us up. And it's like, well, why can't I just be opt out as default and you give me option to opt in? You know what I mean?
Well, nobody would opt in.
Yeah. True.
They have to sort of force you. You know, that's kind of how it all works.
Well, if I could just pick up radio stations I want to listen to with a regular antenna, I'd just be happy with it. But you know, it's got its place, I guess.
It does. But sometimes you know the ads are a bit much, as with so many services.
I was watching some on Discovery Plus like the other day, and like these ads came up about how liberals hate Asians.
What kind of ad is that?
I don't know. It was weird. It's like, did you know that Joe Biden is passing laws to make your kids, if they're Asian, wait in line for stuff? And
this was during the election season or after?
I think it was kind of like the day, day of or day after.
Day after would be weird, but who knows?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I get like, sometimes I get Chinese ads. They don't watch the streaming stuff or something in Spanish. And I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. It's weird. It's some of the weirdest things to me.
Well, considering I don't pay attention to most ads in the first place, they might as well be in Chinese.
Yeah, I know. It just makes you wonder. It makes you wonder if, like, maybe the software. I don't know. I mean, most of our electronics are Chinese made anyway. So I just wonder if, with smart TVs, reaching get a smart TV so cheap is because they, like, you know, take these data stuff you put into, they even activate the TV and they sell it off, right? It just makes me wonder if the companies, the Chinese company that's making TVs or whatever, just like, you know, just like, maybe there's a bug in it. I don't know. It's just weird. It's just some weird stuff.
Well, I wouldn't get too overwhelmed by it. Do imagine that it's a pretty vast market, and that a lot of these complex electronics are made all over and assembled and designed by a lot of different companies, and you know, its end users are also pretty, I think, keenly aware of how and what's going on with the traffic that's coming out of their devices. You know, there's a disincentive to build something that is completely buggy and backdoored because people are not going to want to buy something like that. So I understand kind of what you're saying. There's a huge emphasis on, you know, what is going on with the things that we're making offshore and so forth, and what levels of control we have, and what it, and of course the sizes are changing and the capabilities ever increasing. So it can get to be something that you might be concerned with, but there are I think a lot of brands and a lot of trusted manufacturers out there supplying some of these devices that do care quite a bit about retaining customers, people that will come back, you know, because they had a good experience with their electronics. But you're not alone in questioning some of that highly affordable, you know, electronics. We're very lucky for a lot of the consumer products that we have access to. And it is almost magical sometimes. So it does seem like it's too good to be true. You know, something has to be benefiting somebody for this to be so great. But, you know, you should have some faith that, you know, there's a lot of people that are as concerned as you and a fair level of scrutiny on these kinds of devices.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the FTX thing? Do you think crypto's dead now, or is it? Do you think it needs to be like regulated with like something like FDIC or something, or just to keep stuff from?
Want me to take that one? Yeah, publicly traded entities. Yeah, go ahead, Alex. But I just think, yeah, publicly, you know, people building businesses on crypto, you know, they are held to different standards than people that are just, you know, accepting or trading for cryptocurrencies so they can use it.
Yeah, but the, you know, an investor should have some kind of like, you know, protection, so you know what I mean?
I can speak to that to a certain extent. I think that the you know, a lot of people have been talking about, you know, why isn't cryptocurrency FDIC insured or some kind of analog to that? But you got to remember, you know, that's the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, right? So there's an aspect of the federal government that comes into play here, and FDIC insurance is only available to banks because they are complying with federal regulations that govern the banking system itself. And that includes, you know, how money is transferred, that includes having certain reserves on hand, things like that. So you only have that kind of protection when you have a heavy hand of regulation. And FDIC-type regulation is the very sort of thing that cryptocurrency was designed to avoid in many respects, because they did not want to, these currencies and the exchanges and the platforms did not want to be beholden or responsible to any one individual government. And so to have something like this in place, I think it would be great because it would definitely allow the cryptocurrency market to flourish in a more protected and safe manner. But you can't really do that without having some kind of regulation or some kind of hand of the government involved. The other way of doing this would be to do it privately or in perhaps some decentralized manner with, you know, crowdsourced insurance or some kind of crazy scheme like that. That's the only way I could see some kind of measure of protection coming into place for cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. That's one of the problems with it is like it's so volatile that it's like stocks now. We're so volatile that just somebody tweeting something on Twitter under a verified check mark making you lose billions overnight.
Yeah, but you know the stock market works that way too. You know, the slightest thing, economic forecast can influence the stock market, and all kinds of people are affected by that.
Well, I understand the forecast part, but the, you know, where somebody, like, paid Twitter $8 and set the Lily verified account and said, well, everything's free. And
right.
Then, you know, the stock tanks.
Which is exactly what people expected to happen when that policy was announced on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. It's so dumb. There's a point to that little check mark. I mean, it wasn't a status thing. It's to ensure that the person that you are talking to or that you are reading is the actual person. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't know what's going to happen to Twitter in the next couple weeks. I really am not worried about it. I know, like, it's going up in the news because, well, you know, Twitter, and, I don't know, everybody's going to be like 16-year-old girls and want to tweet all day. But, you know, it just really doesn't affect my life that much if Twitter's down or not.
That's a good place to be then. When these things don't affect your life that much, that's how it should be.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, I think that Elon Musk is actually screwing the whole thing up so he can get out of it.
Yeah, he's definitely got his personality quirks, and he has way too much power. It's not the first billionaire to have way too much power.
It's like if you got enough money, you get mad at on Facebook, you get banned or something like that. You just go buy something out, or just start your own thing, and then you tank it because you don't know what you're doing, and you did it as like a little kid thing, like, well, if I can't play, I'm taking the ball with me. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, this kind of stuff didn't really happen with, you know, bulletin boards and stuff like that.
I mean, bulletin boards didn't have this kind of power.
They weren't based on ad revenue and money.
If you pissed off a sysadmin, good luck getting back onto the board. You know, anybody with power will abuse that power at some point.
Yeah.
It's just we give this guy way too much power.
Way too
much. Yeah, insane.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm hoping the FTC would step in.
Well, I don't know.
It's starting to seem like, you know, where football teams are now, like, you know, tanking the rest of the schedule just so they can get a better draft pick.
I guess, you know, that's just a strategy, but it's one that is not an honest strategy.
Yeah.
I think Musk, what he's doing, needs to be investigated a little bit because it just doesn't seem right. It don't sound right to me. He should have never had said that on Twitter, well, I'm going to buy him out. And if he should have said it was just a joke. Because I think it's what it was. It was a joke. It got out of hand with him.
When he initially said he was going to buy Twitter, you think that was a joke?
I think it would have been a joke.
It's pretty funny if that was a joke and he didn't really mean to do this. He certainly tried to get out of it. Yeah, you know, it's you got to put a lot of responsibility on the Twitter board, who insisted that he go ahead with the sale at this hugely overvalued price. And the reasons are obvious, because they'd make out like bandits and probably are bandits themselves. And you know, now they've profited nicely, and the whole thing is going up in flames as a result. And it's not not a surprise.
Yep, I mean, it's rich people doing rich people things, and I don't know. Me having a Twitter account's not really up there on what I need to worry about right now.
No, it should be just just a distraction at best.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing surgery on to get rid of skin cancer, stuff just keeps worse for me. But you know, it's just. I mean, every day I hear more about politicians complaining about Twitter and Twitter this, Twitter that. And I was like, well, dude, I mean, I got problems I need solved now. I don't care if you got Twitter or not.
We need to stop taking it so seriously. I mean, political statements should never be made on Twitter, I don't think. Yeah, I see presidents of nations being quoted from something they said on Twitter. We should just not use that as a definitive way of making a statement.
Yeah, it's like I don't remember anything that's going on with like MySpace or Yahoo Instant Messenger or anything like that. Yahoo Chat. It's like I don't know what's so special about. I mean, I like Facebook. I'm not gonna lie, I like putting my pictures up and talking to everybody, but. You know, it's not something that I need. I mean, it's not. I'll just go on to the next next thing, you know?
Right, exactly.
It's not... it's just... It's not really based on anything either, just, you know, trading information about people, right? It's not like the computer industry, which is like has something physical. You know what I mean? It's based on a imagined value over somebody's data.
Pretty much, I think that's a good note to end on, because that's what this is all about: imagined value. It's not real. We should treat it as such. Anyway, thanks for the call. Well, we're gonna sign off for the night because I think we're all tired now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, man.
No, that's fine.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too.
And stuff, and...
Yeah, enjoy it down there.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to.
Cool.
All right.
All right. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. You have a good one.
You too. Take care. And that's gonna just about do it for us here on Off the Hook Overtime.
Don't overvalue things.
No, I never do. Any last words from the folks out in Skype land?
Yeah, sure. Just hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Happy, healthy, all that.
Don't forget about Giving Tuesday. And, I think at the same time, not overvaluing things is a very important watchword.
Yes, words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom, indeed.
All right. Well, write to us, oth@2600.com. We will see you hopefully next week. Have a great holiday and try to have fun.
Make a donation to WBAI.org.
Yes, give to WBAI.org is the official website. And we'll be back next week. Good night.